Go with me, if you would, back to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews 12, and look with me at the last verse of the chapter. For our God is a consuming fire. What a statement. What a way to describe God. What a way to describe the God of heaven and earth. Now, let's ask this extremely important question. How many gods are there? He said, our God is a consuming fire. How many gods are there? The answer is one. There is one. He is not a true and living God. He is the true and living God. In Isaiah 45, he said, I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. So there's one God, and it would be very beneficial for all of us to know that He is a consuming fire. I want our children to know this. I do. I want all of us to know that He is a consuming fire. Now, I'll tell you what stands out most to me about that verse. The word is. It does not just say that our God will consume with fire. It says our God is a consuming fire. That means He consumes with Himself. He is a consuming fire. What does He consume? We all know that the answer is sin. He consumes sin. Lot was warned to get out of Sodom and Gomorrah lest he be consumed with their iniquity. He was warned of that. And God rained down His fire and consumed the iniquity of those two cities, which was people. He consumed the sin by consuming the sinners. Psalm 104 verse 35 says, let the sinners be consumed out of the earth, and let the wicked be no more. God consumes sinful men and women. Now this is vital for every person to understand. Sin and wickedness in man has not changed. All have sinned. All do sin. All will sin. Sin and wickedness in man hasn't changed. And God hasn't changed. He has not changed. That verse right there does not say that our God was a consuming fire. God is. He is. He was. He is, and He shall be. Now, I have something that I must declare. And then after that, I have something that I must declare. I have warning, and I have comfort, and both of them are going to come from this truth right here. Our God is a consuming fire. The one and only God that there is stepped foot on this earth and revealed to this world who He was before He came from a virgin, before He was born of a virgin. He stepped foot and revealed Himself. Before He came, born of a virgin. God came down on Mount Sinai. And verses 18 through 21 tell us that. Look at verse 18. here in Hebrews 12. It says, for you are not come unto the mount that might be touched, and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken unto them any more. For they could not endure that which was commanded. That's what they realized, and that's what all people realize when they see the law truly of Mount Sinai. They could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touched the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. When God stepped foot on Mount Sinai, the whole thing exploded with fire. The whole mountain was on fire. And God said, if anything comes near this mountain, it'll die right there in its sin. If anything tries to touch this mountain, that mountain that can be touched, if anything tries to touch it, it'll die in its sin. And the thundering and the quaking, it was so fearful. All the people begged, please don't let God talk with us. Please don't let him speak directly to us. The voice of the Lord God is terrible. It is terrible. It is full of terror. Many people are still hearing that voice to this day. Many people are. Go with me over to Psalm 29. Psalm 29, verse 1 says, give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars, yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. He maketh them also to skip like a calf. Lebanon and Syrian like a young unicorn. The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to deliver. And discovereth the forest. There's nowhere to hide. And in his temple doth every one speak of his glory. Every one. When God revealed who he was on Mount Sinai, everybody realized he is a consuming fire. He's a consuming fire. Even Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. Look with me at Exodus 24. Exodus 24, verse 12 says, and the Lord said unto Moses, come up to me in the mount and be there. And I will give thee tables of stone and a law and commandments which I have written that thou mayest teach them. And Moses rose up and his minister Joshua, and Moses went up into the mount of God. And he said unto the elders, tarry ye here for us until we come again unto you. And behold, Aaron and Hur are with you. If any man have any matters to do, let him come unto them. And Moses went up into the mount, and a cloud covered the mount. And the glory of the Lord abode upon Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And the seventh day he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud, and the sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire on the top of the mount in the eyes of the children of Israel. Very terrible. Very terrible. Can you imagine? Moses had to walk up into that. This is how God revealed himself. This terrible, thundering fire. And he said, come to me. And Moses had to walk up into that. In order for him to meet with God, he had to walk straight up to that fire. I was thinking about that. And this thought went through my mind. After Moses walked up to the fire of God, walking up to Pharaoh was a piece of cake. God was going to send him on a mission to deliver his people. He said, you're going to walk straight up to the face of Pharaoh. He said, before you do, come to me. Moses had to walk up to the fire of God. After Moses saw the terror of God, he didn't fear what man could do to him. Not after a man sees the terror of God. Every man or woman that truly sees God knows he's a consuming fire. He is a consuming fire. Let me show you something over in 2 Kings chapter 1. I've always loved this. Second Kings 1. A man named Ahaziah was the king in Samaria, Israel. He was a wicked king and he worshipped false gods. Verse 1 says, then Moab rebelled against Israel after the death of Ahab, and Ahaziah fell down through a lattice in his upper chamber that was in Samaria and was sick. And he sent messengers and said unto them, go inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron, whether I shall recover of this disease. Moab attacked Israel. Ahaziah hid up in the lattice above his bedroom, fell from it, was badly injured, and then told his messengers, you go ask this false god, Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron, if I'm going to live or die from this. Verse 3. But the angel of the Lord said to Elijah the Tishbite, his prophet Elijah, arise, go up to meet the messengers of the king of Samaria, and say unto them, is it not because there's not a god in Israel that you go to inquire of Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron? Is there not a god in Israel you could worship and inquire of? Verse 4. Now therefore, thus saith the Lord, thou shalt not come down from that bed on which thou art gone up, but shalt surely die. And Elijah departed. You go tell the king that God says you're going to die because you don't worship the true and living God. So those messengers went back and they told the king that. And the king said, now, wait a minute. Who said this to you? What did he look like? And they described him to the king. And he said, I know exactly who it is. It's Elijah the Tishbite. He said, you bring him to me. Verse 9. Then the king sent unto him a captain of 50 with his 50. 51 men. And he went up to Elijah, and behold, he sat on the top of a hill. And this captain spake unto Elijah, thou man of God, the king hath said, come down. And Elijah answered and said unto the captain of 50, If I be a man of God, then let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50. If I'm God's messenger of truth, if I have God's truth, then let him reveal himself as he has declared himself to be, a consuming fire. Let fire come down from heaven and kill every one of you. Verse 10 goes on to say, and there came down fire from heaven and consumed him and his 50. Again, also the king sent unto Elijah another captain of 50 with his 50, 51 more men. And he answered and said unto him, O man of God, thus hath the king said, come down quickly. You come down right now. And Elijah answered and said unto them, if I be a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50. And the fire of God came down from heaven and consumed him and his 50. This is who God is. The God that does not change. This is who he is. The fleshly mind naturally says, surely not. Surely not. Even if he was that way, he can't be that way anymore. He can't be. You all know what 2 Peter 3 says. There are going to be scoffers in the last day saying, where's the promise of his coming? Everything continues just like it was. He said they're willingly ignorant of the fact that the world which was kept in store by the word was reserved to a flood. They willingly forget about that. God said, I'm going to flood this earth. And he did. And he said, the same world is now kept in store, reserved to fire. And God is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. He said, he's long-suffering to usward. But the day is going to come where everything is going to melt with a fervent heat. It is coming. The fire is coming again. 2 Thessalonians 1 says the same thing. God is coming back in the judgment of his fire. It is coming again. The reality of God is he is a consuming fire. That's the warning. That's the warning that must go out. Here's the comfort. I'm going to tell it and then we'll read it. There is mercy to be had. There is mercy to be had. Right here in 2 Kings 1, this captain and his 50 came in their rebellion. God consumed them all. A second captain and his 50 came, serving the wrong king. God consumed them all. Verse 13 says, and the king sent again a captain of the third 50 with his 50. 51 more men. And the third captain of 50 went up and came and fell on his knees before Elijah and besought him and said unto him, O man of God, I pray thee, let my life and the life of these 50 thy servants be precious in thy sight. Behold, there came fire down from heaven and burn up the two captains of the former 50s with their 50s. Therefore, let my life now be precious in thy sight. I am begging you for mercy. I'm just begging you for mercy. Verse 15, and the angel of the Lord said unto Elijah, go down with him, be not afraid of him. And he arose and went down with him unto the king. God said, spare his life, spare his men. Spare his life and spare his men. I want to tell the world to cry out for mercy. Just cry out for mercy. Just stop everything else and cry out for mercy. I mean, stop everything else and just cry out for mercy. James and John, when they saw how the Lord was rejected, the kind, generous, loving, merciful, good God who came, when they saw that he was rejected, they got upset and they asked the Lord, they said, do you want us to call down fire from heaven like Elijah did and consume them all? That's what they deserve. And God said, you know not what manner of spirit you are in. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. I came to save. I came to redeem from the fire. How did he do that? By entering into the consuming fire for them. I came to be a substitute in the fire. A sacrifice under the fire for my people. Bearing all their iniquity, bearing all their flame. Now, you have to see this. Go with me to 2 Chronicles 6. This is Solomon. This is so glorious. This is Solomon dedicating the temple of the Lord as soon as it was built. He stood at the altar of sacrifice before all the congregation of Israel, and he prayed to God on all their behalf. This is the last thing he said in his prayer. 2 Chronicles 6, verse 42. He said, O Lord God, turn not away the face of thine anointed. Remember the mercies of David, thy servant. He said, Lord, for the sake of your anointed, would you please remember your covenant of mercy toward us? That's all he said. Lord, this is our only hope. This is our only plea. This is our request. Would you please remember your covenant of mercy toward us? Would you do that for Christ's sake? Chapter 7, verse 1 says, now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices. God answered him. He said, Lord, would you remember your mercy to us? And God answered him by sending fire down from heaven. And he consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. And the priest could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshiped and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. A moment ago, the song we just sang, the line said, when I was lost in sin and shame, how you let me take the blame. That's the key. The way I had to take the blame. How you let me take the blame. Through a sacrifice, through a substitute. Blessed Lord, how merciful that was to me. Our God is a consuming fire. That's the warning. But the glory and the comfort of the gospel is Christ, our sacrifice, was consumed in our place. When something is consumed, it's gone. When it's consumed, it's gone. All the sins of his people. All of them. If we belong to him, all of them were consumed in him. We were under the wrath of his fire in Christ. And it's over. It's absolutely over. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Had to be by law. They disobeyed the law. King made a law. And they disobeyed it. By the king's law, they had to be cast into the fire. they could not be consumed. Christ was consumed for them. I have always loved how on the Isle of Patmos, the Apostle John, when he saw the Lord, he said his feet looked like they burned in a furnace. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's feet could not burn in that furnace. Christ's feet were burned for them. How beautiful are the feet that bring the gospel of substitution. Well, Hebrews 12, let's close. Hebrews 12 says, verse 25, "See that you refuse him not that speaketh." That's God. "For if they escaped not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. For whose voice then shook the earth on Mount Sinai? But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. The fire is coming again. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken. Everything that remains in its sin is going to be consumed away." Verse 27 says that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. That fire is going to come. It's going to consume everything that is shaken, so that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. And I'm going to close with this right here. You remember that illustration? This is the perfect way to describe what he's saying right here. The glory of our substitute. You remember that illustration of the wagon trains headed out west? Back in the days when people were settling to Montana and Wyoming, and they would travel in wagon trains because it was safe. It was safer to go in a group rather than to go alone. A lot of dangers out there. And when they were traveling, they would send a scout out in front of the wagon train just to search for danger. And if he found anything, he could run back and report it. One of the greatest dangers they had was prairie fires. All that tall, dry grass and all that flat land, the wind that picked up, if a prairie fire caught, it spread like wildfire. And it'd burn everything up in its path. Well, there was a time when a wagon train was headed out west and they had a scout out front. And sure enough, he found a prairie fire. It was full force coming right at him. He turned that horse around and he ran it as hard as he could back to the wagon train. And he told the wagon master, "There is a prairie fire 2 miles out. And it's coming fast. It's raging fast. It's coming right for us." So the wagon master said, "Let's pull some grass back so it can only go one way. And let's start our own fire and burn it out behind us." And that's what they did. And as soon as that fire got far enough away, he said, "Now let's ease all the wagons back." And there they sat. And while they were waiting, a little boy crawled up in his dad's lap, sitting there waiting and watching. And here comes a fire. Comes up over the little hill. And it's blazing. It's raging. It's coming. That little boy grabbed his father's neck. And he cried, "Daddy." And that man hugged him and he said, "What is it, son?" And he said, "I'm scared. I'm scared the fire's going to get us." And he said, "Son, you have nothing to be afraid of. We're standing on burnt ground. There is nothing more to burn. The fire cannot touch us. The fire was already here. Look down. You can see the scars." That is the gospel of substitution. Everything that can be shaken is going to be consumed away. But everything that was already consumed in the substitute will never be shaken. Verse 28 says, wherefore, because of that, because God's fire has already consumed us in Christ, wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. What good news. Our God is a consuming fire, and in Christ we've already been consumed. It's consumed. It's over. Sit still and rest. Let's all stand together.